The following program is meant for entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions of the host and the callers are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WBNJ or WWN Educational Radio Corporation. Consult your mechanic before trying any advice given by the Twin Cams, Sal and Frank Santola on Riptide Rollers.
And now get ready for WBNJ's Riptide Rollers with twin brothers and automotive professionals, Sal and Frank Santola. The automotive call-in show that naturally begs the question,
what were you thinking calling these guys for help?
Sal and Frank are the Twin Cams, intake and exhaust, ready to help you and your car troubles. Riptide Rollers is on the air.
I just love those Riptide Roller boys. I just love them. I want to listen to Riptide Rollers all the time.
That's just one of our fans, folks.
I thought there was something wrong with the radio.
Program.
Welcome back to Riptide Rollers. Sal and Frank Santola, Twin Cams, intake and exhaust.
Everybody gather around the radio.
Gather around the radio for another exciting, informative Riptide Rollers automotive show.
We know that you've been patiently waiting since 6 o'clock this morning.
That's right.
So here we are.
Yeah, and what time is it right now, too? Because we're always, like, running late.
It's always after, it's always after 9.
After,
you know?
After the news.
Right, right. And
is it still Saturday? I might as well hit everybody up with a little contact info before we go any further. Our phone number, which you could leave a message anytime you want for any reason, is 732-428-4482. That's 732-428-4482. You could email us at thetwincams@comcast.net. And we are also on Facebook, so you could check us out. Just go
Indeed.
Right to Riptide Rollers.
I would say we love our Facebook friends.
And I know Sal is still posting stuff on the site all the time.
And we are joined by our executive producer, Bill Clanton Jr. Say hello, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
How's it going, Bill?
Things are good.
Yeah. What's anything going on in the automotive world that we want to know about?
Well, we're always talking about the next generation of, car enthusiasts, keeping the faith, as we like to say.
Yes.
William's been driving the 2002 Jeep Liberty, and he's been fixing every little thing. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, too. Where he's fixing all the little things like the strong arms on the hood now, instead of propping it up with a 2x4.
Well,
you know,
that's always good, yeah.
Yeah. So latest thing he's been working on is, we had an instance where back-to-back, two blowouts back-to-back.
Wow.
So we got new tires on there, which is always good. As we get into the hotter months, we want to remind our listeners that don't take chances with dry rotted tires, especially as the roads heat up.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's fine. We got new tires on there.
And go and bite the bullet. Get the new tires. Don't worry about the inflation.
I see what you did with that one. But I thought the
horrible
jokes come at the end of the
right
show.
Horrible jokes at the beginning of the shows.
But he did, aside from the issues there with getting new tires on it, he's been working on getting the brakes done. He got the e-brake fixed, because the e-brake on that is a headache because it's like these tiny brake pads,
right,
or brake shoes I should say, that go in the center of
the rotor.
Yeah. And so he's working on that. He's souping up the sound system, because you can't have a good car without a good sound system.
That's
so
right.
And, Sal, we were talking before we started the show about the skills and stuff that we've learned as mechanics over the years and how that helps us with different things, being more mechanically inclined.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
I got to witness him for his first time with a soldering iron and soldering some wires together.
There you go.
Because he's like, so should I use wire nuts and duct tape?
Right.
I'm like, no. How about you solder it nice and permanent,
right,
and electrical tape?
Right.
And sure enough, he got out the soldering iron. He was all excited because he has his own now and not borrowing my tools.
Right.
And so he soldered up the wires nice and neat.
Yep.
Tucked them into the rubber around the door. So like you don't even notice that he tapped off of one of the other speaker wires. And very nice and neatly done. And it sounded really good when he was done, too.
Yeah. Nice. See?
I'm proud of the boy.
That's yeah,
right.
Yeah. He impresses every time he opens his toolbox. I'm impressed.
Again, what kind of BMW is this?
Well, his Beamer is right. a 96, but this we're talking about the Jeep Liberty.
Right. And what model is the BMW?
It is a 740 IL.
740 IL. That's the one we took a look at a couple of weeks ago. Big car.
It's a lot of car, it's a classy. That year was a classy model for the BMW.
Yeah, he's done a lot of work on that thing, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Pretty handy.
Well, we got a...
I don't know how handy our next caller is. Sebastian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
So we're actually talking to Cousin Sebastian, and he's up in New York State. And he heard about our show, and he wanted to come on and just share some experiences with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take it from the, you know, Sebastian is, we call him Seabass. So Seabass is 19 years old. He's been driving for only a couple of years. He's already on his third car. So we're going to go through a little history here. But the one point that we're going to wind up focusing on is the attack of the mouse family. Mm. Okay, on one of his vehicles that I guess he had to get rid of.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lesson learned here to our listeners about storing a car, even for a short amount of time, on your properties. So, how's it going, Seabass?
It's pretty good. I'm just excited to be on the show.
That's great. What's the weather like up in New York State right now?
Pretty hot. I just went on a run. It was dripping in sweat, and I didn't really go too far.
How far did you run?
Yesterday, I ran 8 miles.
Okay.
And I tracked it on my phone, so I have proof for the people that don't believe me. But I only went like 2.5 today because I had like chicken burritos right before, and I was so weighed down.
Okay. Not a good idea.
I was trying to be a beast, but I couldn't. So.
You know, I used to run all the time when I was younger, and I guess my best distance was 6 miles or something like that. So I know what it's like to run pretty far. One of my buddies had drank half a pint of brandy or something before he went running. He said he could smell the brandy sweating out of him, you know, so that was like really weird. You know, you got to be careful what you put in your stomach before you go running, that's for sure. Speaking about running, so how's your car running?
So my current car is running real good. I got it a little bit more than a month ago, 2014 Impala. It's an old cop car. It's the 9C3 undercover one. And the car is actually a beast. It has 302 horsepower. I think they came out with a 6.12 for the Impalas.
Okay.
The transmission's awesome.
Yeah, it's a 3.6, I think, engine.
I know the generation of Impala he's talking about.
Yeah, and that's the new design Impala. It was the redesigned.
Now, was that like the LTZ Impala? You know, they had like a...
Yeah, so the LTZ is the market model, and this one's the limited. So It's like they make like taxis.
So in any case, take us from the beginning, because this is the Impala is your third car, correct?
Yep, so this is my second Impala, but my third car, yep.
So what was the first one?
So the first one was a 2011 Impala that was also an old cop car. And, me and that car have a good history, but now it's totaled. So
yeah,
it didn't last too long.
That was by your hands. I mean, you went kind of flying off the road or something with that one.
So actually when I drove off the road with it, the car was perfectly fine because it had the skid plate underneath it, which came with a bunch of the police models. So, that didn't do any damage to the car, but, about like 6 months after, like, I drove the car into a ditch. I got T-boned, which was not my fault, but that ended up totaling the car. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you didn't get injured really bad on that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so that was the end of the first one, and then the second one was what?
Yeah, that's the 2014.
That's my current car, the 2014.
That's it.
Yep, the second one I got was a 1994 3000 GT.
Okay.
The SL.
Okay.
And I love that car. I had to put a lot of work into it, to getting it into like working condition. But that car, you know, got totaled too. But that wasn't by my hands. It was like you were saying earlier. It was the family of mice that did it.
So take us through that, because that's the one thing I wanted to focus with the listeners. So you're driving this car around. I guess everything was okay. You may have had some issues with it, but at one point you decided to park it and leave it outside for what, like months, right?
Yeah. So the entire fall semester at school, okay. I left the car at home.
Right.
And it was down in a homemade parking spot we had, which was like, it was kind of covered by tall grass and trees and stuff. Yeah. So the day I got back from school, I went to go check on the car because I needed my wheels to get around now. And I open up the hood. Well, the car's not starting. And I open up the hood and there's an entire family of mice just staring right at me.
Oh,
like I'm invading in their new home.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
So they were on top of the engine, I suppose?
Yeah, yep, right on top. And then they scattered after looking at me for a couple seconds.
Wow. Well, not that it really matters, but how many mice would you say there were?
At least 10, probably more.
Wow. I was
really shocked when I opened it, so.
Yeah, and you say it didn't start, too, because they had eaten through your wires?
Yeah, they ate all the electrical in the car.
Right.
Which is pretty fun.
Right, and people need to know that even one mouse can do damage like that, and they will eat the wiring.
They like the plastic.
They're going for the insulation, right?
Yeah, they like the plastic. So that was the end of that car, right? Is that what that...
I haven't been able to part ways with it yet, so it's still sitting there. No plates on it, and hasn't been driven since last summer, so...
Oh, wow. So that car sat for, did you say, like 6 months?
So it was from the end of August to the beginning of December, so...
Okay, only through a few months, really.
Yeah, and that's when it started getting cold out, too. So,
okay, right. Okay, that would make sense. So, really, all this damage could have taken place in literally like 1 month's time.
And
that's what I wanted the listeners to really focus on is that be very, very careful when you're parking a car you're not going to use every day, but you don't have a garage. Probably even worse is that it wasn't sitting on blacktop somewhere. So, it's sitting like in the, like you say, the tall grass. And obviously you're up in the country, so, you know, I suppose anybody that's in a rural area is going to have even more of a problem that way.
Yeah. We had a guy one time come in, and his car was, he was complaining it didn't have a lot of power. Car ran smooth enough, an engine, but no power. And so the first thing I decided to do is look at the air filter, and the air filter was fine, but the problem was the box the air filter sat in was completely full of sunflower seeds.
Yeah, like, I remember
like
that.
Like a whole bucket full.
Right.
And
when
I asked him where he was parking the car, he said it was by some sunflower plants, and sure enough, you know, some rodent was putting those sunflower seeds, storing them for safekeeping in his air filter box,
my God.
Yeah, hundreds of sunflowers.
Oh,
seeds.
Yeah, it was a whole pailful. Yeah.
Right.
That was the lack of his power right there, no airflow. But, the rodents can do a lot of damage. They definitely can. And it could get very expensive, chewing through the fuel injection wiring and everything.
What are those little, what the hell is those little rodents that run around your yard all the time, burrow holes in your grass, you know? And
chipmunks,
right?
Rats?
Yeah, didn't you even ask him if he had, you know, chipmunks around the property or something? Because you figured, it wasn't an animal that was eating up his wires.
Right.
If it was storing
mice
seeds.
Tend to eat the wiring and stuff, but it was chipmunks.
And because the guy said to you, you're right, I do have chipmunks around the property.
I had to put it all together there. So chipmunks, mice, absolutely.
So as I'm doing the math, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, September or you said end of September, whatever, so October, November.
They could have started right away.
Yeah, as soon as it started getting cold. So really within 1 or 2 months time, you could have mice do enough damage that your car might not even be repairable anymore.
Yeah. This is a Mitsubishi, right? This 3000?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, what year is it?
It was in 1994. The thing was a classic.
Yeah.
See, mice like those vintage years. They really go for it.
Yeah, sure.
Really go for those years. You know,
well, I mean, a car still has value because a lot of younger guys would still be interested in trying to resurrect that thing if you weren't, you know. So,
well, you could always buy wiring harnesses, I suppose, for the car and try to put it all together if the current harnesses are beyond, you know, repair. But, yeah, that's unfortunate. So then he wound up going to another police car,
right?
You know, which he's driving now.
Yeah.
So you're thinking of maybe fixing that car up? Is that why you've kept it?
I mean, that was the intention for a while, but it's kind of difficult to, like, start a project like that, like well-managed school.
Right. Yeah.
But I know you guys call him Uncle Ed on the show.
Yeah.
I know Grandpa's, Cousin Ed. Yeah. I know Cousin Ed, and he's my grandpa, but he's always asking about the car, super interested in it, and coming up with these crazy ideas for it. And this one time, he wanted to put two engines in the car and make it the best rally car of all time.
Yeah, sure. I know, one behind the other, right. He's always talking about doing crazy stuff like that. Yeah, so he's probably telling you, don't get rid of it. We could do some wild stuff with this car. You wouldn't have to worry about the eating up wire harnesses. God knows the changes that car would wind up going through.
That's funny. Yeah.
Well, Seabass, we got to go, but thank you very much for calling us.
Yeah.
And that was interesting story. And it's always something that we always want to use to share with our listeners, to be very, very careful when it comes down to, like, storing a car, for example, on the property, in the grass, or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. I never heard of a whole bunch of mice like that. That's incredible. So
it took full advantage of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was completely shocked, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Good. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, that had to be a real bummer. You got this car and you're really into it. And people, he said, would compliment the car, leave notes on the car and say, this car is kind of rare, a different car. You don't see him too much. And I know he likes it. That's why he's keeping it. But I don't know if it's beyond resurrection or not.
It's worth it. That car is worth it.
Yeah.
You know, unless it was really beat up otherwise. If it's in reasonable good shape, otherwise, it's worth it.
But, people don't think about that, especially, I guess, right? Think twice about storing a car on your property outside, especially when the colder weather is setting in.
Yeah.
Because you can have real problems with that. Go under the hood, check it out once in a while.
Yeah. And I never, we've seen cars where you could tell a mouse or something chewed on a particular wire.
Yeah, yeah, nibbling on something.
It's not that big a deal.
Right.
To find a whole...
Yeah, family of them.
Yeah. I never experienced that before. I even heard of that before.
Ate up all his wiring.
Yeah.
So if you're going to run the car once in a while or something, I suppose that's good, too. Yeah. Or if you're going to use it once in a while, it's good because the mice would just jump out or something. But something stationary like that outside, colder weather setting in, yeah, definitely something to be very mindful of.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Yeah, we'll come back. Take an emailer.
Another emailer. Okay.
The Twin Cams have more questions to answer and advice for you coming up on the Riptide Rollers, 91.9 WBNJ.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-729-1241. 800-729-1241. 800-729-1241. That's 800-729-1241.
Welcome back to Riptide Rollers, on air at 91.9 WBNJ and online at WBNJ.org. Here's the Twin Cams, intake and exhaust.
And we're back.
We're back.
And we're going to reach into the old email bag.
Yeah, maybe I'll give everybody some contact info. We're in the middle of everything here. Our phone number is 732-428-4482. Our email is thetwincams@comcast.net. And we are on Facebook.
Indeed we are.
Like us on Facebook, check that out. But you could leave a message for anything that you want to talk about. It could be technical in nature, or it could be just a funny story you have to share with us.
Like Sebastian's
attack the mouse family.
So we have Karen from New Brunswick. She's obviously listening to us online. And she has a 2017 Highlander.
Okay.
And would like to know if she would be getting, do we know, I guess is the question, she'd be getting better gas mileage using the premium as opposed to the plus, which she is currently using.
Well,
you know, I would say yes.
Yes, but are you going to save money is the big question.
That's, you know, in fact, the question.
Because right. Look at the price of premium compared
very
to...
Very high.
Right.
It's got to be $6 or something.
Yeah, sometimes when the numbers are closer,
right.
I feel like, okay, if you only had to pay 25 right. cents a gallon more for premium, right. you might actually work out better, yep. you know, to advantage right. to getting the better gas mileage.
Because I have a Highlander, a 15, so it's a couple years older than this one. And I have experimented between the plus. I never use the regular, but I'll use the plus. And then sometimes switch to premium and check the gas mileage. And yes, definitely get better gas mileage. But it's not huge. It's a mile or two per gallon. But you do notice the difference. You do see it. And but it's true. You know, you could buy plus at maybe 5.25 to 5.50. And the super is probably,
you know,
six.
So. I just like using super all the time. So it's killed me to go to the plus. I haven't gone down to the regular yet, but I've been trying to use the plus, and I feel a difference. You know, I definitely feel a difference. So there's more octane in the super, gives you more power, definitely gives you a little bit better fuel economy, but it's so costly now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Yeah.
I have a Cadillac that I've been using the plus in, and I checked the book, and it says to use the super, but it does say... can use, it has to be at least 89, so that's what the plus is.
And
runs quite well, but I'm going to switch to the super just to see now, experiment with that and see if I pick up that mile or two per gallon. So but yes, the question, the answer is rather that you will definitely get better gas mileage, whether it's worth or not given the price, but the premium definitely. I one time had an older Highlander that I experimented with, took a long road trip up to Massachusetts, and I made it there in 5 hours to my destination, and I had used the plus, and then on the way back, filled up before I left, and the same load in the car, made it back in 5 hours, so the same kind of traffic patterns and everything else, and using the premium, it was definitely a couple miles per gallon better. So,
yeah, I like the power. I like the fact that I've had less fuel-related trouble over the years using super in all my vehicles. I don't get clogged injectors. Yeah. I don't seem to get, you know, carboned up valves and plugs and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel as though it's a much better fuel to use. But again, you know, it's whatever you want to do.
Quite expensive right now.
So there's your answer, though. I guess it might be worth it for you when the pricing is a little bit tighter anyway between the grades.
And so, on that note,
we're going to end it right now and say thank you, folks, for listening. WBNJ, this is Frank.
Yep,
Josh Cam.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Yep, meanwhile, Bill and I are looking at each other.
Yeah.
Bill knows I have a question for him.
Hopeful anticipation.
Oh, pray tell.
Bill, what invention was more significant than the first telephone?
More significant than the first telephone? Hmm.
The second telephone.
Well, yeah, you know, you kind of need one for the other. Yeah, because if you're going to tie a string between two cans, you need two cans.
Frank is, once again, not laughing or anything.
He's, you know, just... Bill, you're in communications.
I am, okay? I am.
And you found that funny.
I did. I found that funny because it's so true. It's funny because it's true.
It is true. Well, folks.
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave my microphone so then you could use your microphone and Bill could use his microphone and you guys could talk to each other. And after the show, you could continue saying bad jokes to one another.
Well, on that note, we're glad you joined us. We hope you enjoyed our little radio program here, our automotive info show.
Yeah, attack of the mouse family from Sebastian.
Yep.
Thank you for that, Seabass.
Yep, glad you joined us.
Very informative. And I'm glad he joined us. That was great. But yeah. Thanks for listening, folks.
Yep. We wish you well.
Hang in there and make it a good weekend.
Until next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to WBNJ's Riptide Rollers Automotive Show with Twin Cams Intake and Exhaust. If you have a question or a comment to the Twin Cams, visit their website, RiptideRollers.com. Riptide Rollers is hosted and produced by Sal and Frank Santola. Executive producer for WBNJ is Bill Clanton Jr. I'm your announcer, Trip Rogers. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for Riptide Rollers, on air at 91.9 WBNJ and online at WBNJ.org. The preceding program was meant for entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions of the host and callers are not necessarily that of the staff and management of WBNJ or WWN Educational Radio Corporation. Consult your mechanic before trying any advice given by the Twin Cams, Sal and Frank Santola on Riptide Rollers.